boy. I popped a button right up here at the top of this thing. I popped a button in the middle of all that. I was tickled pink, proud, blessed, touched, inspired. Do you know how many football players could have been jerked out of that choir who are not football players, but they're here in this holiness tabernacle tonight, heaven? How many of them young ladies? You know, that was tremendous. That was tremendous. I believe I'll try that at home next Sunday morning. Just do it, me and my wife. I'll do the talking part, you do the singing part, honey. And we'll get to that amen, 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 amen. I popped a button. I sure did. I popped a button. It's great. It's great. Boy, my choir did wonderful. You thought it was your choir? No, it's our choir. Boy, our choir did wonderful tonight. Oh, yeah, they did. That same bunch there, if you're sick and needing somebody to pray for you right quick, they can do that just as quick as they can sing. Yeah. Well, it's been a great day. Heard wonderful preaching. Brother Gabbard spent a restless night last night and got up today in the pulpit and... He got up here and his heart was made of crystal. Crystal. And he broke it himself while he was preaching to us about the 10%. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. I mean, Spirit of the Lord, just wonderful, wonderful after, just wonderful. It's a wonderful night to be in the house of the Lord. I thank you for the offering. It always embarrasses me. Always. It always embarrasses me. When my deacon gets up on Sunday morning and says, we're fixing to take the tithes and offerings this morning, he don't even mention my name. We're fixing to take the tithes and the offerings this morning. Have you been blessed this week? I feel awkward because I know it's coming to me. And sometimes I haven't put a week's worth of work into a week's worth of tithes. Sometimes I feel unworthy. And, I appreciate what you gave, and I still think Brother Horton ought to give us a chance to vote on Sister Brock and the horns. I mean, if we could vote on that, we might go ahead and have a couple more songs before we. But he's bigger than I am, and meaner, and I'm at his mercy. I'm subject to his coffee pot, so I have to do what he says. But I got a little something I want to read you. I got something I want to read you here out of the Bible, and it's in the Old Testament. So all you folks that don't like the Old Testament and think you ought to preach out the Old Testament, turn over there anyway. I want to read you something out of there. Wonderful services around here. I mean, we've been having a great time. And I've appreciated the meeting. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I feel more liberty tonight. I feel more liberty tonight. I mean, we may not have enough liberty yet to knock over the pews and shoot out the light bulbs, but I feel more liberty in here tonight. Of course, we ought to have, because we've been a pounding and a working and a fighting. Casting out devils, letting the beasts of Ephesus know what side that we're on. We've been saturating this place with preaching of a day, pulling our ever-loving guts out, pointing toward the night service, where we come in here again and say, I feel more liberty. Sometimes you have to fight for what you get. Now, if you're of the persuasion that you just lay down and let whatever come may come by, you know, then you'll have a ministry or a touch of God upon your life that is second to a red worm. But if you come in here with a backbone and push in the service and fight to take ground, someplace along the line, God is going to show up and reward you for all your efforts. I was really glad to see the Brocks come in, and always glad to see Brother Wiley come in, and the Heaths back there, Brother and Sister Heath, their boy and daughter-in-law, at this moment, are getting ready to take care of church back in West Plains. I leave it with him, and I really appreciate them being here. Brother Lucas, saw Brother Lucas, yep, over there, so I'm glad you guys are all coming on in. I got something to preach to you tonight, though. And it's in the book of Ezekiel. This is what the Bible says. Let's see, I'm missing a cordless. Give me the service and hide the microphone. I know. I will probably drink decaffeinated coffee, too. Let's see. Book of Ezekiel, chapter number 43. That's right after Ezekiel 42 and right before Ezekiel 43. And I'm just going to read one verse there. Some of you look like you're on a one-verse night here, so I'm not going to push it. Got one verse. And that verse is verse number 8. In their setting of their threshold by my threshold, and their post by my posts, and the wall between me and them, they have even defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed. Wherefore I have consumed them in my anger. Now, if you are of the persuasion that you're going to get by doing anything you want to do, I'm preaching tonight on God is going to get you for that. How many votes to have the horns come and sing right now? Let's just turn the service to Sister Sharon. Turn the service to Brock, and we'll just be out of here. God's going to get you for that. You boys can go ahead if you want to and help me here. Now, what I know, and don't let these other guys, don't let them bother you, whatever they're doing, because they don't know any more what they're doing than I know what I'm doing. But what I know about the millennial temple and all of that stuff in the millennium, I tell you, what I know about that, I could put in a symbol. I mean, there's just some of that stuff. It's not necessarily over my head. I've just never climbed up on the ladder high enough to look down into it. I don't know about some of that stuff. I keep myself on a different plane, and it's probably evident with my preaching that it never excels very much. But what I know about that temple, I don't, but Israel, what I do know is that God was talking to Ezekiel here about how good it's going to get and how it's going to be. God said, now this how it's going to be. In my temple, this is how it's going to be. And then God launched into a discussion about to Ezekiel about why God is fixing to have to redo the temple. And it was because he said they've brought in some thresholds, and they've set up some posts, and they've put up a wall. Now, this happened back in Kings. If you want to know where this happened, no, don't let worry. We're not remodeling the whole church here. We're going to hang somebody on this and beat the far out of somebody with a couple of those. So Don't let it worry you. Unless we come at you with a rope. But what God was saying to them was, there was a time that I had another temple, another church, and everything was just fine until Ahaz. Until Ahaz came in. And when Ahaz come in, he looked at everything and said, let's shut the doors up to the house of the Lord and let's put out the lamps, turn out the lights, and you priests, you take a vacation, and we're going to shut down things as we've always known it, because it's easier for some folks to quit completely doing right than to admit that they're wrong and change. It's just easier to quit. I never seen such a church age of quitters in my life. I'm not going to come back, Brother Hyde. No problem with you. No problem with Sister Hyde. We like to sing and we love everybody. And when we see you at Walmart, we'll hug your neck and tell you how glad we are. Oh, shut up. I'm telling you, it's a generation where it's easier to quit than to step up and do what's necessary in God's church. Well, I tell you one thing, brother, you mess with me, and there's 47 other, I know it, wormy, whiny, Pentecostal churches that ain't got a standard any higher than a string of poison ivy that would love to have your hide. I know it. Pray, sweetheart. And you horn family, pick out a song. Listen, I just love that. I'm glad you guys are here. Get ready to blow your horn. Listen, I tell you something. What I know about this whole thing is that God was trying to tell Ezekiel that this guy years ago corrupted my church. He corrupted my house. I had a man come along by the name of Hezekiah who opened the doors, turned on the lights, sanctified the priesthood, and had church again. But before he got there, they had this takeover spirit by Ahaz. And God was telling Ezekiel in this chapter, when Ahaz come along, he set up his threshold. And he set up his posts beside my threshold and my posts. But in the book of Kings, says he shut up the doors. So evidently, when Ahaz did what he did, he closed one door and only allowed entrance through his. Pray, sweetheart. And I just know this from working for the Lord all these years and pastoring churches and dealing with people and watch churches split. And hear about ruckuses and ministries caving in and going to where I just learned through all of these years that you never accomplish anything positive when you start shutting his doors and start opening your own. I've noticed it, and I need to qualify myself tonight with this little statement. And yes, immediately after service, you can have a refund of tonight's offering if you can find it. I've already looked for it. It ain't up here in these buckets. But I want to qualify myself and tell you that everything I preach anywhere, I have already preached it at my church. Yeah, I really have. I mean, my church folks have slept through this just like some of you all are sleeping. And my folks have gone through all this stuff just like you are. But the difference is, while I was preaching this at my church, I stopped in one of my whirlwind special moments and said, hold it. I got to maintain it. Hold it. And I run over here, and right here across the top of this piece of paper that I call notes, I wrote Richland. Right in the middle while I was preaching it, God dropped it down inside my heart. He dropped it so far down inside my heart that I'd already called out here and told him. You guys, and Brother Kevin's been wonderful to help me from night to night to night. And I hate to inform this church that he's quitting here and moving to West Plains. But he has been so helpful here. And you know, it's so wonderful to get all this stuff for me. But I'm telling you, I got a message for this revival service tonight that happens to have camp meeting written over the door. And it is this. You try to mess things up in God's temple, you will incur His anger, and God is going to get you for that. If He has to take 1,000 years right out of eternity and set Him up a church like He wants it to be, He's going to have a church. No matter how many times we try to spoil it, no matter how many times we try to run it, no matter how many times we try to take it over, God has established a place. He established it in the wilderness. He established it for David. He established it by the building of Solomon. He has sent it into captivity. She has come home. She's had to rebuild her walls. I'm telling you, she's been through a lot. But it's God's house. And He's going to see to it that it's a holy place, filled with glory and with grace. And I don't want to be the man or the woman that thinks that I can rearrange His furniture. I'm not going to be up here all night, but I'm going to be up here long enough to tell you something. Hypocrisy disgusts God. Disgusting. I mean, hypocrisy on the street. Well, hello, how are you? I just love you. You're no good for nothing. Or hypocrisy in the house of the Lord. I love you, Lord. What's the score on the game? I thank you, Jesus. What? Hypocrisy in the house of the Lord. He hates it. He hates it. And you look like I'm fixing to have more trouble than I'm fixing to have. He hates this hypocrisy and sin and corruption and wrong, hypocrisy, all these things. He lumps it into the same sack, puts it all in there. I mean, the bad spirit, no spirit, some spirit, cranky spirit. He puts it all in the same bag and says, when you bring that into my house and try to rearrange my house, it incurs my anger. My wrath is kindled. And I'm telling you, there are some churches that just well shut the door, sell the building, turn it into a skating rink, have a bowling alley down in the basement, shoot pool up in the balcony. Because, brother, sister, when we try to take the church into our hands and out of God's hands, He's going to get you for that. When these things are brought into the church, and God sees them carried in, and suddenly the jar of mercy, He sets it on the shelf, and He closes it, and He opens the jar of judgment. Because, brother, sister, some folks think that they can get away with doing anything and still be part of the church. The pastor don't say anything about it. The Sunday school teacher overlooks it. My mom don't care. My dad ain't here. And 1,000 other excuses. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you are a sinner and you're sitting in this church tonight and you die before the sun comes up in the morning, you'll go to hell. Because that's how God has it ordained. And if we are sitting in this church tonight and there is some kind of hidden, unholy spirit that's got a hold of us in the morning when the sun comes up, so will God's anger. He is angry with the wicked every day. I'm telling you, I know God is love, and I hope that you can go to heaven on that. But I got a feeling that He don't love sin, and He hates hypocrisy. I ain't done. I just look done. And so what happened here where when God really got, oh boy, I got to be careful. When God really got irritated with what they were doing in his church, he started slaying the prophets. He started killing those priests that would have nothing to do with the holiness of his house. In fact, the Bible even said it, he pulled his sword and he took it straight into the heart of the nation. And I don't mind telling you that on more than one occasion, God takes a priest and embarrasses him in front of an entire world. And I don't mind telling you that some church splits that I know of was a direct result of God plunging in his sword. Saying, if it ain't going to be holy and it ain't going to be right, then I'm going to get involved right in the middle of it. And my message in this church for everybody sitting here is this. God is going to get you for what you do if you are contrary to what he said. Now listen, if I said that judgment begins at the graveyard, everybody in this church could jump up and say, boy, am I ever glad of that. If I said that judgment begins at the marriage altar, that'd be close. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it begins in the house of God. And what some of you feel breathing down the back of your neck is not the air conditioner. And it's not the fact that I'm trying to stare a burning hole right through your eyeballs. It's the fact that God in this house is in complete control. Complete control. He's got a man at the helm, but God is in complete control. Just a little while ago, while those young ones were singing, a little while ago while they were taking an offering, if God had so designed it, and God had so desired it, he could have took this church, plunged us into a revival shout, turned this place upside down, bypassed me, or anything I had to say, because it's his house. Yeah, I know that you presume that you have the right to vote for the color of the carpet, and you have a right to decide whether you put a Bacchus tree in each corner. You have a right to decide whether you have a black speaker or a brown foot. We presume that we have those rights. But I'm telling you right now, God on a flat rock out in the middle of nowhere can turn it into a house of God, can turn it into a Bethel. I want to tell you, you may pay the light bill, and you may keep the electricity on, but you're doing it because God is in control of this house. Let me tell you how in control of the house God is. You listen close. It was a camp meeting, and I wouldn't bring this up if somebody a couple of weeks ago down at Reynolds hadn't reminded me that it happened. I was at a campground in the United States of America. For the life of me, I don't even know why they called me. Because when I got there, I could tell they wish they hadn't. I could tell. And anybody with a sweet face that I have would elicit everybody's love and appreciation. But I was in this building, and I was preaching holiness to all these folks sitting out there, and the secretary of the group had already got out and stormed out of the tabernacle because they were mad. It seemed like I could just see my check go flying right on the wings of a snow. I mean, I could just see it flying right away. I just kept right on preaching, kept right on going, and I was hung up on sin, and I was hung up on how black it was, and I was hung up on how dark the fellowship was turning. That was what I was hung up on. And right at the end, tell them it's right, honey. Right at the end of my preaching, when I said, let's bow our head and seek God, the house went black. Lights went off. Everybody started scurrying. I saw them out the door. I mean, lights went off. Immediately there was a message in tongues. In the middle of this tongues, the interpretation from a great preacher said something to the effect of my tabernacle, my people, my fellowship, I give thee light. I can take my light from thee. I mean, it was tight. Woo! I mean, I'd preached before and felt like God was pleased, but I never had Him pat me on the shoulder and say, step back, I'll give the altar call. Down them lights come. And while I stood there, wondering what to do next, the leader of the camp walked up and pat me on the shoulder. You listen. He walked up and pat me on the shoulder, and he said, all the electricity is off to the tabernacle. I figured that out. You can tell that it was. Just, the divine revelations that some folks get in the house of the Lord. But then he said, Brother Hyde, I said, yes. He said, the PA is still on. And I turned around in a tabernacle that the trailers had gone dark. All the way up to the kitchen had gone dark. There wasn't a stitch of power coming anywhere, and they were looking for breakers trying to put the power back on. And the only thing operating in the tabernacle, the PA system was still on. And he said, say something. And I stepped up and I said, do I have to say anything else? And when they heard the PA, the fight was over. You hear me? When they felt and heard the power, the fight was over. And brother, sister, I'm going to tell you, this is God's house. He can have a camp meeting if every light went off right now, simultaneously. If the PA shut down, up on our heads, because it's His house. We don't have to have a prayer line. He can heal somebody right now who would just lean back and ask Him to. It's His house. Now that may not bother you. That may not bother you. But I'm telling you, there's something sacred about the church that you go to. Something sacred about the church that Brother Randy Webb pastors. Something sacred about the church that Brother David Brock pastors. Something sacred about the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle and the Richlands Tabernacle. There's something sacred about it. And yet we come through the door some nights with barely wiping our feet, turning our children loose, letting it become a racetrack for the kids. We come into the house of God. We manicure our fingers. We write our grocery list. We sing if we feel like it and swell up if we don't. I'm telling you, there's something sacred about the house of the Lord. And God is going to get you for that. I'm not going to show it to you because I ain't got time. But on my phone, I have a picture. But I have a picture on my phone of a pile of fingernails and toenails. I took a picture of them at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle. I felt like I was in Egypt, and they were coming up with another one of them tombs of the Pharaoh. I mean, it looked like a pyramid. I don't believe one human being has got that many fingernails. I don't believe they do. I haven't. I'll show it to you if you want to say, who in the world keeps fingernails and toenails on his cell phone. Hey, just listen. Any of you guys got fingernails and toenails on your cell phone? I thank God there's one normal preacher in the bunch. I got fingernails and toenails on mine. And I got them there because somebody thought the house of God was a beauty parlor. Somebody thought they could prop their little feet up and their little fingernails up and clip like a bunch of termites. I'm telling you, this is God's house and it's sacred. I wouldn't cause trouble. I wouldn't get loud. I wouldn't let my kids run loose. I'd say, Lord, I don't want to incur your anger. I don't want you angry at me. I don't want you. And I know he's been angry at some folks. Because I myself wanted to beat the snot out of them. I know he's been mad at some folks. I know he has. Brother Hyatt, would you like to see my little darling? Yes, but you hold them. I don't want their horns to spit me. And you know, it's not those screaming babies. I love babies. Yeah. I try to be an influence on the children. You ought to see some of the children at my church. You ought to see them. I try to be an influence. But I'm telling you, it's not the children. It's the lack of spirituality in church people who can go into the house of God and not have enough sense to know that they're taking all the view away from Him. And they're putting it on themselves. And brother, sister, that's what makes show business on the platform so disgusting. When you start taking the glory away from Him, God is going to get you for that. Listen. Listen. I know that you all can't hardly believe it. But some of you are standing and some of you are sitting on the holy ground. Oh, yes, you are. Well, I personally don't like the tabernacle because I feel like that we should still have outdoor toilets and a leaky roof. And instead of having a steeple out there, we ought to have a barbecue grill around back. And I'm telling you, you're on the holy ground. When you come into His presence, when you come into through His door, when you come through His door, He says, do it how? With thanksgiving. And you do it with praise. I'm telling you, there's been a few times I've been a-preaching at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle. And I've said, Freddie! Sits on the back row. Freddie! I said, run outside, Freddie. Check the sign. And make sure we're still in the right building. You turn holy ground into a morgue. God's going to get you for that. You come into His house and get vexed because the preacher says, raise your hands and praise the Lord. God's going to get you for that. Well, I tell you, I'm tired of preachers telling me, shh, 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 put that in your mouth. Put that in your mouth, would you please? Don't say that too loud. God's going to get you for that. Well, I tell you one thing. I like that kind of thing. You know, I personally, have, in where I grew up, you know, bluegrass kind of gospel is prevalent there in the Ozarks, kind of like it is out here, but it's never just really caught on with me. I mean, I've never heard a bluegrass saxophone in my life. It's never caught on with me. I get over to Randy Webb's church, them King Mountain boys, grab them microphones, and go to singing about the power of God, and the Holy Ghost falls. I'm telling you, I'm the first one off the platform, my hands in the air. You know why? It's God's house. You hear me? It's God's house. I don't care who's singing it. I don't care if they like it or not. When God says, it's my house, and He runs it the way He wants to, I'm not going to try to change His mind. And I can see some of you want to leave. And I don't want you to. So I'm going to get with this. He's going to build His church. That's what He told them in the New Testament. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In the millennial, it's going to be a perfect house. It's going to be a perfect church. It's going to be a perfect place. Woo! I sure would like to be a deacon there or something. It's going to be perfect. But the reason He's going to make it perfect is because sometimes we make it so imperfect. We do it. We do it. We do it. Doing my best to have a camp meeting. The moderator, the leader. I need to be so careful here. Would you all promise not to buy this CD? Just leave it right here at the church. Don't take this with you. Because sure as a worm, this guy would eventually get a hold of it. And then he'd be more mad at me than he already is. I was preaching a camp meeting. First night. He told me to. Sing. Do I look like Fred Wiley? Sing. Sing. Wasted years, if I sung it, would turn into wasted tears. You'd bawl your eyes out before I ever got her done. He said, I want you to sing, I want you to play your horn, and I want you to minister. First night, power of God fell. I walked up there behind the podium like I didn't have any sense. And I said, let go. Let God have His way. After service, He rebuked me. And He said, I'm in charge here. And what I want you to do is sing one. Play your horn and minister. All he needed was a mustache. When I got back to where I was staying, on my door was the schedule of the whole meeting. And they had written on the schedule, play one, sing one, and minister. Now listen, been little all my life, sweet, 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 sweet. So I went back to church that next night and put my ink pen out, upstairs door, sung one. Wasted you, sung one. I know, thank you very much for that, but I can't go on. I sung one, I played one, and I ministered. When I got back to where I was staying, put my ink pen out, checked it. The next night, done the same thing. Played one, sung one, ministered. Come back to where I was staying. His wife walked up to me and she said, I saw that little sarcastic check mark that you've been putting on your, I said, you mean the little sarcastic check mark on that little sarcastic piece of paper that you packed there? I don't want everybody to sit there and look at me like that. I know it's just going to knock some folks right off their feet when I tell them that we ain't in charge of this thing. We just work for Him. We are servants of the Most High God. If He wants to shout us, He'll shout us. If He wants me to sing, I'll sing. Oh, I feel a song coming on. Hold me back. Hold me back. Listen, I'm telling you that this is what happened. This is what happened. They had the premeditated dumbness, the stupidity of the ages to think that they could put their own doorway in to the tabernacle of the Most High God, that they could set their own posts up beside His posts in the tabernacle of the Most High God and turn around and act like they're just like they've always been. We're just like we've always been. We preach just like we always preach. We're just like we've always been. We're holy just like Yes, sir. If you see a need to put another doorway into his church, you ain't just like you've always been. Because you were satisfied to come through his doorway the night you got saved. But I'm telling you, churches in our fellowships, preachers of our ilk have been doing that very same thing. And camp meetings have gotten tighter. Revivals have gotten harder. Congregations in churches that live a holiness standard have been getting smaller and smaller and smaller because we want to set up our door. We want to come through our compromising door. And we want to come through the door of worldly fashion. We want to come through the door that has no praise and has no thanksgiving. We want to come in our churches, find our pew, sit there like a knot on the log, and forget that every breath that you've got is to the praise and the glory of God. I tell you, some holiness churches have to build new churches. They got to get a different door. They got to get a different threshold. They've got to change things. Suddenly you've gotten very quiet. But we've got people that have put up the door of pride, and it's the only way that they'll come to church anymore. Hurt feelings.
Hurt feelings. Hurt feelings.
Hurt. Don't move. Sit right there. Knock it off. Don't you touch my feelings. I'll quit. Don't you touch my feelings. Oh, you're very quiet now. Do you think that we can't continue without you? Do you think God's not going to get you for that? Do you literally think that we can become a fashion statement for Hollywood, walk into his sanctuary and tell him, I don't want to mess up my hair tonight? Do we literally think that we can come into God's house and so gently sit down that we don't even want a crease in the back of our suit and tell God, I can't shout tonight. I can't do those things. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you the very rudiments and foundation that this church was built upon. Not just this tabernacle, but my tabernacle and yours. Tabernacle was the worship of God without prejudice and without pride. And I'm telling you, we're putting up a door and walking into our churches with something that irritates and riles the anger of God. If you can't shout in it, you shouldn't have wore it. If you can't, let God come upon us. Man, you all are supplied.
Kevin! Run out front, see what the name on this church is.
I think I've made another tragic mistake. Surely, undoubtedly, I'm not saying something about righteousness and holiness. And holy people have lost their hallelujah. And glory be to God for it. If somebody will get in this pulpit and tell your daughters how to look and tell your boys how to dress, you mamas and daddies ought to holler, oh, glory be to God! But we put up these doors of feelings, and these doors.
I just forgot which my handkerchief was and what my trouble was.
We put up these doors of feelings until literally some folks walk in and say, all right, I'm here now. See if you can have church over me. And we can, because God's going to get you for that. We won't even have to worry about knocking the props out from underneath you. He's got termites right now chewing up your stilts. We won't even have to worry about rebuking you from this pulpit. We'll be too busy visiting you at the hospital. God is going to get you for that. I'm telling you, we act like that we could come in and legislate. Well, this is my personal opinion. Woo! I tell you what I'd do if I had one. I would dip it in the sweetest iced tea that McDonald's had. I'd so saturate my opinion with sweet tea that when I got to church, I'd have such a sweet expression on my face that I'd forget what my opinion was in the first place. I think we ought to stop coming to the door with 100 agendas and 27 opinions, sitting in our little group, sitting in our little clique, having our little meeting while everybody's at Wendy's. You're at Shoney's. God is going to get you for that. Well, I'm telling you, brother, I'm a preacher. That's what worries me. That's what worries me. So with some of the other guys that we never hear from again. God's going to get you for that. God's going to get you for that. And as if, I know I'm preaching to you. I know you're just enjoying this. And you could set another hour and a half. But I can't. I'm getting tired and hot. And I figured somebody would have the Holy Ghost by now. I'm just really shocked that somebody hasn't got their healing. Or some dad jumped up, run up to the front, and grabbed his boy and said, oh, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm an example in front of him in God's holy house. But I'm going to tell you something. They set up those doors. Yes, they did. But then God said, they put posts beside my posts. And I don't know what some of you folks are leaning on. But you sure ain't leaning on the post that God set up years ago when you promised Him your life, promised Him your children, promised Him sanctification, promised Him holiness, promised Him faithfulness, promised to pay your tithes. You're leaning on something else tonight. And God has not remodeled His house. We've done it. We're the ones that we bring these things into the house of the Lord and lean up against it. I tell you, it was a Wednesday night. And I was in line at Walmart heading for the house of God. And brother was in the other line over there beside me. And he pastors a Pentecostal kind. He pastors a... He works for a group of people. And I looked over at him and I said, you got the bull in the pen, brother? He looked at me and he said, you see what I'm buying, don't you? And I said, what is it? He said, it's a DVD player. I said, DVD? He said, yeah. On Wednesday nights, we can't get nobody. He said, the kids all come play volleyball out back. And when the saints get there, we show gospel singing CDs. DVDs on Wednesday night. He said, I don't have to put the bull in the pen.
No. You're sorry, though.
But God is going to get you for that. Do you think you're going to get away with coming into God's house? Do you think turning it into a house of fame, irrepute, a house of educated madness? No. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be that preacher at the judgment if I was part of a raging organization that had Pentecost in their name someplace. Don't everybody look at me like that. I'm telling you, you ain't going to get by. And if you go to a church that has a lily-livered preacher behind the pulpit, God's going to get you for that too. Well, I'm not going to go to a church whose pastor preaches against women cutting their hair. God is going to get you for that. I'm not going to go to a church that preaches you shouldn't have sports and lean on sports and lean on the... I'm telling you, God going to get you for that. I come out of the music world. I come out of the music scene. I come out of loving it, hearing it, being part of it. But I had never seen a church that allowed it to take over its platform that didn't go worldly. I can't believe that. Well, you did. Yeah, I heard this choir. Didn't you? And it was good. But in case you haven't turned your hearing aid on yet, reach over there and click it. Because I have been preaching for about 45 minutes. You hear me? We've got churches leaning upon talent, leaning upon men with a doctor's degree up there behind the desk. And God is going to get you for that. Now, I'm losing you. And I see how I'm not even as excited about this myself. But the last thing, and this is the killer. He said, they've put up these other doors, and they've started leaning upon other stuff instead of the things that I told them to. But then he told Ezekiel something very, very strange. He said, they've built a wall. Now, this may not look like a wall. So far, it's been a tomb and a rock. It's been an iron lung that you took up the offering last night. And when I heard how good the offering was last night, I said, I'm going to keep that box. Take it back home with me. My deacon will set it out on Sunday morning and say, put your tithes into this iron lung. But, and now, it's a wall. Don't get quiet. Don't get quiet. It's a wall. We've got our own door. We've got our own posts. We've got our own support. We've got our own leaning. And now then, we've even got a shield. Boy, he about got me on that hair thing. I'm glad that man looks on the outward and God looks on the heart. Pentecostal people can only say that when they're hiding behind a wall. I got this wall now. Woo! Man, he was preaching about love and I got love. I just don't appreciate my wife. Wow. I got love. In fact, I've dated every girl in the house. Wow. Are you listening to me? And we put these walls up, and then we say, how come Brother Gabbard ain't got it? How come Brother Hyde ain't preaching it down? How come they ain't singing it? Are you listening to me? If our preaching didn't have to bounce off of 875 walls, if our preaching could go from the pulpit straight to the heart, we have revival in the house of God. Oh, yeah. Brother, I'd like to apologize to you because I shouldn't have. Sister, I'm sorry I said.
That's okay, sister. I don't think anything about it.
Honey. Oh, sorry. Oh, here, honey. Gotta be careful there. Honey, you hold this. Honey, I'm sorry I bought that gun from Brother Gabbard when we needed food on the table and gas in the tank. And it was such a good deal. Can you forgive me? Honey, even if she said yes, I don't believe her. Can you say yes, honey? Yes. I still don't believe her. Not as long as she's behind that wall.
You know, I've really got a problem
Where's Brother Vance over here? And I've just decided that tonight's the night that I'm going to get everything all taken care of. I'm going to hug your neck, brother. Well, you stole me. Try. But you got that wall. And the funniest thing about it is, God's the one that's going to take it down. Mr. Gorbachev, take down this wall. Ah, shut up. God is in the business of tearing down walls. If it hinders His church, if it tears up the congregation of the Most Holy, you are an accident fixing to happen. If I was you and I had a contrary spirit, I'd move to Haiti. Quick. Walk. I wouldn't even get in an airplane. If I was you, well now, brother. Don't well now, brother. And listen, this was given to me for thee weeks ago. Isn't that amazing? I've been looking for a list of things to hit, and Brother Horton won't leave one laying out. So I've come up with this all by myself. There's some reason why. There's some reason why this year's camp meeting needs to be a revival. There's some kind of reason why that the altars, when we did fill them up, were empty of victory and void of power. It's got to be some kind of reason. And I don't mean to be crude and rude and act like I'm God's answer to all the church problems. But it offends me to think that we get all gussied up, come to the house of the Lord. People needing to be healed of cancer. Boys fixing to die lost and go to hell. Families are barely hanging on by the skin of their teeth. And we have our walls and our doors and our columns and don't allow the Holy Ghost to have His way. God is going to get you for that. Head for the piano, honey. I'm not done, but it seems like it gives me an extra 15 minutes. Listen. The church in West Plains that moved their services from their auditorium to the city park where the congregation wore their bathing suits around the pool, had a pastoral devotion, had the choir sing, had a time of fellowship by the city pool on a Sunday afternoon, and vacated the house of God. God is going to get them for that. What did you do last Sunday? God is going to get them for that. I read in the paper, Brother Ronnie, the other night about another church in West Plains. And they put it plainly in their little write-up that our Wednesday night Bible study lessons will resume after Labor Day, when we will be discussing something off the wall. It didn't matter any more than spraying a coon hound for ticks. Something off the wall. And I got at my pulpit and said, closed for the summer. They couldn't get enough in their church to even show up on a midweek service night. God is going to get them for that. I wouldn't be that pastor if I was making $1,000 a week. You hear me? Some people quit the holiness house of God and start their own little kingdom, and they're going to die lost in that church house because they didn't take into account that God didn't leave with them. Pray, honey, for me, if you would.
Yeah.
Marietta, Georgia. The preacher stood in the doorway of the picturesque church, looked out at the parking lot as his congregation gathered for early morning service. By the time that Reverend Norman Markle started his sermon, everyone was still in their vehicles, just as planned. The 150-year-old New Hope United Methodist Church is offering a drive-in service, hoping to attract new visitors with an unusual worship experience. Maybe they don't have a church. Maybe they don't care to get dressed up and go to church. Let's just find a way to eliminate all that stuff and let people just come and go where they're comfortable. The service has all the markings of traditional worship, hymns, and scriptural reading and a sermon, but everything is broadcast over an AM radio station. Attendees can stay in their car, spread a blanket on the ground, or go inside the tiny little chapel, depending on where they are most at ease.
That's not Marietta,
Croatia. And that's not Marietta, Russia. It's Georgia, right here in the United States of America. The church hopes to add a monthly communion to the drive-in service where attendees would be served the bread and the grape juice in their cars. Some Sundays, coffee and donuts will be offered. You ain't heard it. A recent Sunday drew about 20 worshipers in 10 or so different vehicles. Most of the group sat in their cars and trucks, enjoying the unseasonably cool morning. The crowd included 3 dogs and several people munching on breakfast as they sang along to Just a Closer Walk with Thee. God is going to get you for that. When in His holy sanctuary, He doesn't want you partaking of the cup and partaking of the bread unrighteously and unholy, drinking damnation to your very own gut. God's going to get you for that. God's going to get you. Brother Ronnie, tell him it's so in West Plains, out by J.C. Penney's. There's the church called the Church of the Open Door. It's an offshoot off of the church there in West Plains. And the reason they opened the church out there by Penny's is because on Sunday mornings, everybody exits West Plains by Route 60, 160, on their way to North Fork Lake. And so the church's motto is, come in your bathing suits, come as you are. Park your trailer and boat in the parking lot. Come in. We'll count you, put you on the number down at the big church. You can pay your tithe. We'll serve you communion, and you can be on your... God is going to get you for that. You better not take communion unworthily in His house. Going to get much quieter. And I'm going to tell you, He sees no difference in a drive-in church and somebody that comes in His sanctuary and quenches His spirit. No difference. Well, I know the Lord's trying to move, but I just want, if I was you and I was disgruntled, I'd reach up under the dash of my self-will, and I'd pull that little button that says release the emergency brake. Because I'm telling you, after this service tonight, if you walk out this door without repentance, without admitting sorrow, without coming into this altar crying, my God, who am I to think that I can legislate to God anything? The minute you step out this door tonight into the wild blue yonder, you are open game, because God is only obligated to tell you one time. I never felt so overcome in my life. I never felt so overcome in my life. Never. Do you realize that you are in the world of danger? If you walk out of this church tonight, go get in your car and drive home with God angry with you. Do you realize sitting in this church under conviction, grabbing that pew until... Do you realize that if it's just your pride, my preacher friend, that's keeping you from coming down, coming out, kneeling in this altar and saying, Brother Gabbard, Brother Hort, come and pray with me. Come and pray with me. Help me with my help. Are you listening to me? Do you know that if your pride allows you to walk out this door, you have walked out with your own door, and your own post, and your own little wall. You know why there's some folks in this building that will not be back tomorrow night? You know why? It's that wall. I can't get through it. If somebody was sitting in this church right now and knew that his home and marriage was going straight to hell, would come out of there and say, My God, I want God on my side and not against me because I'm having too much trouble the way it is. Now, that's what I would do. But I got this wall. If I was a preacher in the house tonight and I realized that my motive and my heart and my objective had turned contrary to faith, I'd come out of there and say, call me to preach all over again. Give me the Holy Ghost all over again. Give me, and I'm telling you, it would spur a revival and folks. Got this wall. I was a young lady. Now I was living one thing at church and something else at home. I'd come out there, come down this altar and turn around and say, Mom, Dad, come down here and pray with me. Because you know and I know that we got... That's what I would do. That's what broke out this wall. No, you wouldn't really do that. I did do it. That's why I'm up here tonight. And that's why I refuse to build another wall. If I was a boy in here tonight, I'd turn around and say, Dad, me and you, the ball team, getting too wild. Come pray with me. Well, brother, what would happen if, what would happen if we let God have His church back? What would happen if we turn this back to holy ground and people started getting healed and getting the power of God and getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost and getting delivered? What would happen? I'm going to tell you, at 6 minutes after 9 and I'm done, we would have another revival that hell would begin immediately pulling its hair out by the roots. My God, they've done it again. They found the key again. They have found out that if they would just remove some of the... They found out again that if they'll get right with God, God will get right with them. And they'll still be His people. And they'll be His God. And He'll start meeting their... Hell would start pulling its hair out by the roots. Father, I know what I've done. I think I know what I've done. I felt the same way at Calvary when I finished this message. I know what I've done. I have made it extremely difficult on anybody that is eat up with worldliness, overtaken with pride, self-sufficient, and sure that they are incapable of making a mistake. I know what I've done. I have pitted you against those that are decided that you don't have to live holy and you don't have to live righteous. I have pitted you against those that always feel like that they could do it better than anybody else, that they are the one exception to the rule. And I know what I've done. I've taken Brother Ralph Horton's pulpit and taken liberties tonight that I probably should apologize to him for at the end of this service. But not until I give my fellowship, the people that I love, and the reason that I pour myself out. Not until I give some boy a chance in this service to tear down the wall, kick down the column, open up a new door, and come down to this altar and leave tonight knowing that God is the dearest friend he ever had and not the worst enemy that he's ever going to have to face. Your heads are bowed and nobody's looking around. To be honest with you, honey, I don't know what to play. You have a song. Good. I don't know what to play. But to be honest with you, I know one thing. If somebody has a wall of apology that they need to tear down in the name of Jesus against every devil that would stand and shout from the balcony of this church, it cannot be done. I say, in the name of Jesus, bring thy wall down to this altar. Toss it into the presence of God. Tell God, I'm sorry for what I have built up. I'll never let it happen again. And tell him, let this wall be consumed in the same wrath and fire that you shall consume every wall, whether it's given to you or whether we keep it ourselves. In the name of Jesus, you've been leaning on something besides holiness, wrapping yourself around something besides the things of God, and you are a church visiting member only. There's no praise in your heart. There's no hallelujah on your lips. Why? You've already reached your 50s. Worship is for the 20-year-olds. You've already reached your 60s. Shouting hallelujah is for the 40-years-old. Why, you're 70 or 80. Nobody expects you to say hallelujah at 70 or 80. But that's a wall that you've built. It's not in God's Word. I want you guys up here on the platform and you preachers around here that's sanctified and know that I'm in a fight. I am in a fight not for my life. I'm in a fight for their life. What you don't understand is I'm on your side. That's what you don't understand. I'm on your side. You're in a fight for your life. And I'm up here trying to help you. If I was in this church house and I knew that what I'm doing isn't right, I wouldn't walk out of this house knowing God is angry with me if all I had to do is walk across the street to get home and climb under my bed. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. If I was sitting in this house right now and I had a habit that nobody knew I had but me, I hate to tell you, you've brought your habit on holy ground and God knows you've got it. If I was in this house tonight and I was a pornography freak, if I couldn't control the internet, if I was in this place tonight and the music was a driving, thriving beat that grabs a hold of me and there's no gospel. Are you getting this? If I was in here tonight, sir, and I owed my wife an apology, I'd come down to this altar. And I'd pray through until I could tell her I'm sorry and mean it. If I was in this house tonight and I owed my Sunday school teacher an apology, I'd come down to this altar and I'd pray until I could go and get it. Need to hug somebody's neck? You got wall trouble? Boy, it sure is. It really is. Somebody might want to come up here, one of you ladies. This little one right here, this little baby. He's the sweetest thing, and he'd let about anybody hold him. But this young lady and this young man, they need to pray together. They really do. Just wait, that's okay. They need to pray together. And I know this might not be the best idea, but I'd suggest you putting your arm around her and you putting your arm around him. That's what I would suggest. That's what I'd suggest. And that's what I'd suggest. That's what I'd suggest. Because coming to the altar, as long as you got a wall there, you ain't gonna get no help. Oh, but you can't hardly have a wall when you're praying and crying like that. If I was in this church house right now and I knew I haven't felt the Lord, I haven't shouted, and you know what? You're wanting to go home, and so am I. And I'm going to sell this service out. Yes, I am. But the minute you say no, you become an enemy of God. He becomes angrier. Just to think, I send a preacher to preach it, give you a Wednesday night to hear it, give you a nice building that's air-conditioned to enjoy it, send my Holy Ghost and tap you on the shoulder, and you dare to get up and walk out and say, it wasn't for me. God's going to get you for that. God's going to get you for that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Young preachers, you can do it better than me. You can do it better. You can do it better. You can do it better than Brother Gabbard. Okay. Okay. Get your door. Get your post. Get your wall. And get ready. God's going to get you for that.